Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What a night last night for Major League Baseball. ALCS goes to the Toronto Blue Jays in Game 7. Britt Cirolli of The Athletic. Britt, what'd you make of an incredible game and a huge moment for George Springer?
Oh, God. I mean, I think it depends on who you were really pulling for, guys. I think if you're a Mariners fan, you got to be sick over some of those decisions. And I'm certain that talk radio in Seattle all day is kind of analyzing what Dan Wilson did or didn't do, their bullpen decision in facing Springer. But, you know, I think the more that it comes out, kind of what he's going through, how hurt he is, you know, this is a guy who played at the World Series, has been in very clutch moments all those years with the Houston Astros. So I think for me, you know, Toronto being down 2-0, being down, you know, multiple, it felt like almost every game the Mariners scored first, even if it was only a run or two. And then last night, the Mariners appeared to be in complete control, and Toronto just never panicked. So I think if you're a Blue Jays fan, as it's the first time in, what, 32 years since you've been in the World Series, you got to be feeling pretty good, even though the Dodgers are obviously a dynasty looking to repeat as champions. I think this Blue Jays team is a lot better than people give it credit for. I don't think it's going to be kind of a steamroll by the Dodgers by any means, which I've seen some people predict.
Yeah, Britt, to that point, it does remind me, just selfishly thinking back to my fun memories 6 years ago, it reminds me of the Nationals and the Astros. The Astros were the buzzsaw. They were the overdog, right? They'd been there a bunch of times, had been knocking on the door and already won, etc. And Toronto, you know, coming back from certain death, found a way to win. Again, a la Washington facing elimination a million times over. Obviously, the Dodgers should be favored, but go into that.
They should be favored, but when you're a team that puts the ball in play as much as Toronto and does not strike out, which was so apparent in the Seattle series, you always have a chance. And I think what makes Toronto dangerous is that 7-8-9. Right? Like their bottom of their lineup is so good and had so many big moments that you, once you get to the top again, you're like, oh God, here we go. Here's Springer. Here's Vladdy. But there's nowhere to breathe. You know, Ernie Clement, I think, wreaks havoc. Addison Barger, like you look at this lineup and it's a pretty, Alejandro Kirk, like it's a pretty scary, deep lineup. And because they don't strike out, it makes defenses work. It puts the ball, once you put the ball in play, good things happen. And this isn't like a put the ball in play Cleveland Guardian team, right? This is a team that hits the ball out of the ballpark and puts the ball in play. And that to me is scary. You know, do they line up rotation wise with the Dodgers? Of course not. Like the Dodgers have like a five-headed monster, right, in that rotation. But both teams have issues in the bullpen. And when you have a lineup like Toronto, I don't think you ever feel like you're out of it. So I think there is a lane for them to win.
Britt Cirolli, senior MLB writer at The Athletic. Hey, before we let you go, the Nationals locally, they've got their president baseball ops, Paul Taboni, if you want to give us a thought on that. But the managerial search is ongoing. The offseason blueprint's being laid out. What should they do at manager, and how should they go about this offseason?
Yeah, it's funny. I was just making some calls this morning because I feel like I haven't heard anything about their managerial search. And I think, I don't want to say they're behind other teams, but I think Taboni's just spent a lot of time focused on filling out that front office. And I think manager is something that's picking up steam now. I think when you look at this team and where they're at, you can make a case that they really need somebody who is good developing at the big league level. And that clearly was not Davey Martinez's strength. That's something that, you know, I think a guy like Brandon Hyde with the Orioles possesses. I think a guy like David Ross, who I said he wants to get back in, would be really good as well. Can I see them going with a first-time manager? Yes, I could, because this is a team that isn't expected to win next year, and there's a lot of uncertainty about a potential lockout looming at the end of next season. So, you know, I could see them going that route, and like, this is going to be our starter manager when we get good. Maybe we pay for a real manager. It's going to depend on ownership and what they promised Taboni in terms of how much they're going to be able to spend on a manager. But I think there's a lot of really good first-time managers out there. Vance Wilson with Kansas City, Ryan Flaherty, who's Craig Counsell's bench coach for the last couple of years, Craig Alvarez in Cleveland. Like, I think there is a lot of candidates if they're going to go that young route. I think most important, guys, is the infrastructure now is going to be built up in D.C. And, you know, this is certainly going to be an important hire. But what they do in building out that scouting and player development and the guys who are going to be advising Taboni and drafting, that is going to make the most impact. I do think right now this team needs a teacher and they need a leader. And I don't know if that person is going to have experience or not. I don't think it's a prerequisite.
Britt, awesome as always. Enjoy the series.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. In Richmond, you can check us out on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, and we're presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish Cakes, EB, and JP waiting to connect with Spencer Carberry. Head coach of the Washington Capitals got another win
last
night.
5-2.
It's a nice start.
It's a great start.
Really good start for the Caps.
I chalked that Sunday loss up to just the early start, 12:30, dropping the puck.
Mm-hmm.
Guys aren't ready to play then. Although Vancouver was. Is that who they played, Vancouver?
Yeah, Vancouver. Yeah.
I don't think they would use that as an excuse.
No, I know. That's what I'm chalking it up.
Okay.
Although that's 9:30 to Vancouver's body clock.
Yeah, I don't think they would use that as an excuse at all.
No, I'm sure Coach Carbs would not.
That's my excuse.
That's
right.
They were down 3-0 with the quickness.
But I think overall, Coach Carberry has to be pleased with the start to the season.
I mean, when he's on, I think he's going to be on shortly. We can ask him.
They're, like I said, they're number one in the league in goals against. They're number one in the league in save percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Logan Thompson is unbelievable.
Yep. How are their specials teams units doing?
Well, we can ask
Carbs. I think Carbs. The PK would... he'd like it to be a little bit higher at this point, but the power play has been hot. Scored power play goals in the last four games. So that's good. That's an uptick.
Yeah.
Have to enjoy that.
Valdez said he just talked to him and he needs to get his bearings for a second.
Understood.
I was just waking up. I would figure that we'd have him on because the Capitals PR account just put up a tweet.
Yeah, I mean, sure, he's great, but I mean, we probably just woke the dude up. So give him a second.
Well, yeah, I mean, he probably got to bed at 1 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I was telling the boys.
I would think on a day after a game, when I know we're supposed to have him on every Tuesday, but we push him back a little bit for him. I mean, I don't know what his schedule is.
Give him a break.
I mean, give him an hour.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. I guess he doesn't push back and try to come on like 9 o'clock.
He doesn't need to come on at the crack of dawn.
Speaking of nice guys, how nice was CJ McCollum?
Dude, I was
nice. If you missed the show yesterday, grab the podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm totally blown away by
Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and listen to our interview with CJ McCollum.
I'm always blown away by Will. Like, Will Dawkins is incredibly down to earth and great. I think CJ one-ups him. I think he goes another level of niceness.
I was getting a chuckle all day long yesterday, thinking about how CJ was promoting his wine and how, you know, it's an Oregon-based Pinot Noir. And then Jason goes, I love a Napa cab.
Well, Oregon. Well, just to pull back the curtains, Oregon and Napa are pretty much identical in their how they grow their grapes.
Mm. Jason threw out like Rodney.
You wouldn't be able to tell the difference between Oregon. Well,
Valdez was trying to flex his wine muscles.
I don't have any wine.
He's like, I can't believe you guys didn't know that Oregon's known for its Pinot Noir.
It is. It's world renowned.
I was like, okay, like I'm not a wine guy. How am I supposed to know that Oregon is known for a certain type of wine?
But when I said Napa,
I thought they were known for their Nike facility.
Yeah, they're known for much more known for that,
right?
Yeah, than they are for
like
their wines.
Beaverton. That's
Beaverton, Oregon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Headquarters.
But I do like me some Napa Cab, Matt Myers.
Yes, you do. It's kind of.
But I've never been to Oregon to drink wine, so I had no idea.
I've never been to Oregon.
You threw out
a
couple of quips during the interview
because
you were clearly flexing the few wines that you know.
I'd rather talk wine than wizards.
Well, most people would. Aside from on Funny Ben.
I was just blown away at how nice he was. Yeah, what a down-to-earth good dude.
I told you he was the best.
Yeah.
He's great.
No, you nailed that.
He's great. And he can still play at a high level, you think, Ben? Very high level?
Easy 20-plus nightly.
Well, speaking of nice, joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline is Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals. He's brought to you by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit CFAOrtho.com.
You got the cobwebs out there, coach?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Yeah, you up and ready?
Ready to roll.
Ready to rock.
I mean, this is early after a game, bro.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. You don't have to call in this early. We can move it back. Oh,
we can do you at 9 or something.
Yeah, we don't want to wake you up. I feel terrible.
No,
that.
You guys are good. Yeah, right. I got to start hitting the film.
There you go.
All right.
Hey,
all right.
Hey, coach. Before we talk about what happened on ice last night, I thought a really nice moment. It was put on online by Caps Twitter. Props to head athletic trainer and director of sports medicine for the Caps, Jason Serbus.
Yeah.
He just reached a huge milestone, 2,000 games with the Capitals. And you guys celebrated him in the locker room. Carly gave a nice speech. The team chipped in and bought him a fishing trip in Alaska as a gift.
Yeah.
A really nice moment for a guy who's obviously a big part of your guys' day-to-day operations for, looks like, almost 25 years at this point. Tip of the cap.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. 25 years in the NHL. And Serbs, like a head athletic trainer, he has a great staff. And obviously, when you think about a trainer, you think about, you know, someone gets hurt on the ice, he comes running out and to your aid, to all the players' aid. But what people don't see behind the scenes is Serbs literally is that every player, staff member's beck and call. If anything goes wrong medically, he's the guy that's there for you, that's helping you, whether it's your kids, your spouse, all the players, all the staff. So he's had, I mean, just hundreds and hundreds of probably thousands of people that he's helped over the last 25 years. It's pretty impressive.
Mm. Well, coach, you guys are off to a good start. I know it's very early. Extremely early in the season, but you guys are number one in the league in goals against. You're number one in the league in save percentage.
That's pretty good.
I don't know how you're doing on some of the other metrics, you know, the power play and penalty kill and stuff like that, but it's got to be pretty good. I mean, how would you kind of characterize the start here in the first seven?
I think it's been solid. I think we're what I pay attention to the most is our 5-on-5 game has come out really, really strong. Mm-hmm. And so in all of the metrics and analytics that you measure there, are we controlling play? Are we getting scoring chances? Are we limiting scoring chances? Do we have the puck more than the opposition? All those numbers so far are really solid. And so usually when those are good, wins follow. So we've been able to put ourselves in a decent spot for seven games. Power play and penalty kill, work in progress, special teams. But I think we're going in the right direction. I've seen improvements in both those, so looking good there. Goaltending's been good. Yeah, so it's a solid start for sure.
Coach Carbs, I'm going to preface this by saying I know nothing about coaching hockey. You have forgotten more about coaching hockey in your sleep last night than I would ever know. I can barely skate.
It's hard to know less than us.
I just know that some Caps nerds were losing their minds at the fact that Hendy was so good in the first two periods last night, and he was awesome. You know, all those metrics you were just talking about, 5v5, and then he didn't see the ice in the third period. What went into that decision to see what he did in the first two and then basically sit him in the third?
Yeah, tough situation, but basically what happens in the third period is, so we've got a 3-0 lead. He's played really well up to that point. We take a penalty and lose momentum quickly. And then they score shortly thereafter. So now the game becomes 3-1. Now we lose, like we start to get back on our heels the next couple of shifts. And so that it's just a point in the game where I go down to three lines and we're playing basically nine forwards. He, then we take another penalty. So then we've got to kill that off. And so I wouldn't read too much into it. I know obviously, Lap and what the heck, did he do something wrong? Nothing wrong at all. It's just a matter of us protecting a lead where we've lost momentum. And now we've got to find a way to grind that win out and win that game, close that game out. That's all that is. We definitely lost momentum in the third period. They started to generate some opportunities. So it becomes a really, really tight situation where we need to lean on some defensive-minded guys in those spots.
Coach, really fun to see Leno breaking out. Has three goals, including two game winners. 20 years, 273 days old, became the youngest Caps player to score in back-to-back games since Nicklas Backstrom, that was when he was a little over 20 years old.
He's still only 20?
He's 20. He's a youngin'.
What a big
dude. Whippersnapper.
Yeah.
So what do you see from Leno so far?
Real good. He's, I've said this a couple times. You guys know how difficult the league is for a young player. And to step in with no AHL time at all is not easy. It's unique. There's only a handful of players every year that, you know, just go straight from whether it's junior or college to the National Hockey League. And he's one of them because of his talent, his skill set. So what that means is he's a really good player at a young age. That's number one. But two is he's
going
to develop.
Learning on the fly. Yeah.
Exactly. And he's going to develop in the best league in the world, where most players, 90% of players, are going to develop for the first little bit in the AHL. He's not doing that because he's that good. What that means is you're going to see his talent on display. Like last night, every night he's doing 3, 4, 5 things that just make you go, whoa, that is next level stuff. And what you'll see is just a few young mistakes. And that's all we're working on is making sure that his game is continuing to grow. He's continuing to develop his habits, and he's just getting a little bit better, a little bit smarter, a little bit better with the puck in all three zones. And that's what we've seen so far. So he's doing a good job developing on the fly here in the NHL.
Talking to Coach Spencer Carberry, Capitals head coach, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit CFAortho.com. I'm wondering, Coach, it's 7 games into the season. You guys are off to a great start, but do you look at the standings already? Believe you guys are 4th in the Metro because the Hurricanes, the Devils, and the Penguins are off to really good starts. Do you feel like you're chasing?
I honestly, that is news to me that you just told me that and shared that. No, I do not. I do not look at the standings this early, but I do know that what you said is, you know, you're following scores and watching games, so you know teams are playing well. So that isn't completely shocking to know that, you know, Carolina's playing really well early. A lot of our division, like a lot of people thought that the Metro was going to struggle, you know. And it's been the complete opposite. Like Pitt's playing really well. Mm-hmm. I know the Rangers have struggled wins wise, but they look good. Like in the game that we played against them, I thought they were excellent. So yeah, it's going to be competitive.
The Devils have won 5 straight.
Yeah. And this league, like I'm telling you, the parity in the league, any team can win on any night. It is. I think parity in our league is as high as it's ever been with, you know, however many teams trying to compete to get to the playoffs. Like there's not a lot of teams that are have sort of waved the white flag and said, oh, we're in a quote-unquote rebuild. Like most teams, I'd say, you know, whatever it is, probably call it 30 of the teams are like, no, we're getting into the playoffs this year.
Hmm. So what will today, you guys play on, let's see, today is Wednesday. You play Friday, correct, at Columbus?
Yeah, today's an off day. We'll go today's back to work tomorrow, practice, and then we play a back-to-back this weekend. We're in Columbus and then home against Ottawa.
So what does your off day look like? I think last week you said you might have to drive to Rockville to take your son to practice. Yeah. Do you do that? Is it what, today?
Yeah, that'll be tonight after school. And then today, what I usually like to do is just sort of get in, hammer out a little bit of film, get ready for tomorrow, get the practice ready for tomorrow, get the meeting ready for tomorrow, and then get out of there as quickly as I can so I can do some things around the house and be a dad and be a husband.
Mm-hmm.
Does the traffic murder you?
Yes, it does.
Especially around the Tysons area.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's what he has to do?
Like, I go.
Well, I don't know exactly where he lives, but I'm imagining that to drive to Rockville, you're dealing with 495, going up 270, and if he's dealing with a nighttime practice, he's going to – he's, you know, I know that there's a parent on my club soccer team that comes from Arlington, and they say sometimes it'll take them an hour and a half to get to a Bethesda practice.
Yeah,
it's not. thankfully now, because we go to Rockville so often, we're over on the Maryland side, so that's taken the bridge out of it, which has helped a lot.
Mm-hmm. Coach, is everyone pretty healthy right now?
Knock on wood, yeah. Pierre-Luc Dubois missed the last five. I think it's at five now. So, but it's nothing crazy long term. He's working his way back. He should be back soon.
So everybody feels good.
Yeah, yep. For the most part.
I saw you called up Frank again, right? That's the kid that's like really fast, right?
Ethan Frank.
Yeah. Yep, he can zoom.
Exactly.
What was the situation there that brought him back?
So Dubois, when we put on IR,
okay.
Dubois opens up a forward spot, so it gives us one extra forward. So he went in the lineup last night, played his first game of the season.
Right. Okay, awesome. Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I always root for that guy.
All right, have a good off day, my friend.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Yeah. All right. Will you be going appreciate for a run it. Shortly, Coach?
I'll be doing a uphill walk on the treadmill.
Nice. You do the 13, what is it, the 13-3-30 or whatever the hell it is?
Yeah.
All right. See, I know what everybody's
doing. You're in on his workout routine. Look at you.
You got to do a 13 degrees of incline for 30 minutes at zone two.
Okay.
Knocks out a good workout.
All right, good.
Especially when you get to be an old fart and he's getting up there.
I know. You get a good sweat and you get out of there.
He's not near us, but he's not near us.
He's still way more handsome than us.
Yeah,
for sure. All right. Thanks, Coach.
Okay. Have a great week.
All right, buddy.
Coach Spencer Carberry. Brought to you by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAortho.com. Coming up next, we'll hit the skins, give you the latest on the Washington Commanders.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before, T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer sitting in for JP today. It's time to get out to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Welcome in Odyssey legal insider Amy Dash. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Amy, appreciate you hopping on today with the crazy news of the day this morning.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so can you just kind of break down what some of these allegations are? I mean, we've seen now Chauncey Billups in with the poker ring. We've seen Terry Rozier dealing with potentially the sports gambling side. How are these connected, and what is this just all part of a massive scheme?
Well, it's part of a massive scheme, but there are two major cases. There are three defendants in both these cases that overlap, and one of them is Damon Jones, who's been indicted in both cases. So the first case is, as you mentioned, the sports betting case, where insider information was used, allegedly, to assist people in placing bets, a lot of those prop bets, which focus on the statistics of the player. And so these bets involved the unders, that there would be certain NBA players that were underperforming. And the FBI alleges that some of these players were cooperating by either passing along the information or removing themselves from the game or knowing that they weren't going to play, so that tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars in bets could be placed that they would not meet the statistics that were normally expected of them. The second case is an... Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
Now, it might be easier if we go, you know, sort of case by case, because the second case is pretty involved as well. So, you know, yeah. The insider sports betting conspiracy, that involved a lot of different teams, and they actually went on. I just got the indictment. I don't believe it's been made public yet. But they actually listed very specific games between very specific teams. And examples, if you want me to give you a couple examples, let me know.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, so March 24th, 2023, they are alleging that when the Trailblazers played the Bulls, there was a co-conspirator who told another defendant that the Trailblazers would be tanking this game, so intentionally losing the game to increase the odds of a better draft pick in the upcoming draft. Several of the best players would not be playing, and that was the four highest per game scorers from 2022 to 2023, and that ended up actually happening. They lost the game. We don't know if they intentionally tanked, but four of their highest per game scorers did not end up playing. So apparently this information came from an inside source. Again, April 6th, Orlando Magic versus the Cleveland Cavs. The Magic allegedly were not playing their regular starting lineup. This information that was not public got out to a bunch of bettors. A huge amount of money was placed on this game, and in fact, they ended up losing. February 9th, 2023, and January 15th, 2024, involved the L.A. Lakers. Damon Jones was an unofficial assistant coach during the 2023 season, and player three, who is not named in the indictment, was apparently a prominent Lakers player with access to information, and the allegation is that Jones sold this information for bets. They even cite a text message from February 9th game to a co-conspirator saying, get a big bet on Milwaukee tonight, allegedly from Jones. And then there's a few more examples involving a January 15th game with the Lakers, an Oklahoma City Thunder game. Toronto versus the Clippers, Toronto versus the Sacramento Kings. So there's a lot of teams involved in these allegations, and there are a lot of people that are listed as co-conspirators or prominent players that have not been named who are allegedly implicated in this whole scheme and providing that information.
Wow. So I look at around that time, the NBA basically got serious about the players, what they call it, the
load management
and all that crap about, no, they want players to play, and they changed the rules. So if guys wasn't playing, you'll be fine. Would that happen to be something that came off of the heels or something like this? Because, you know, people all knew what players were going to play certain games because the media was getting that information too.
You're right in the fact that injury reports would come out. What they're alleging in this indictment is that this information would be passed along and the bets would be placed before those reports would come out. And in some circumstances, those reports would never actually come out. So somebody would say, for example, that they were not going to be playing in that game. So they're alleging that Terry Rozier in one game said he would not be playing and then, in fact, removed himself. A lot of bets were placed on his unders, him not meeting his statistical norms, and then he removed himself in less than 10 minutes of play for a purported injury. So some of it, yes, ultimately those reports would come out, but this would all happen before that, and then some of it, no, they would never be made public.
That thing with Terry right there, I was reading a story this morning that said he played like 9 minutes or something in that game. He normally played about 35. He said he had a hurt foot, but he didn't play any more games after that. So did he really have a hurt foot or not? I mean, because if he didn't play the games afterwards, what happened?
Yeah. Well, we don't know, right, because these are all allegations and everybody's innocent until proven guilty. But what they're saying is that they believe that this scheme involved one of his close friends from childhood, a guy named De Niro Laster, and that De Niro Laster was allegedly involved in all this. And what happened after he went out of that game is that a lot of people won a lot of money, and Laster ended up traveling to Philadelphia, according to this indictment. And they're also saying that Terry paid for his trip to Philadelphia, and upon his return, he went straight to Terry's home with the money where it was counted, and Terry was allegedly given a piece of those winnings. So what's been happening is they've been building these cases for 4 years, some of them. And so they are citing, the feds are citing thousands of hours of video surveillance that was conducted, dozens of search warrants on electronic devices. So they're claiming they have a lot of evidence, not only in writing, but in secret surveillance.
Wow. Talking with Odyssey legal insider Amy Dash, what are the next steps here? What happens to Terry Rozier? I do want to talk about the Chauncey Billups thing here in just a second, but specifically with Rozier on this side, what happens to him?
Well, so, you know, he'll have to present his defense. And right now, he is facing, it looks like he's facing the conspiracy to commit wire fraud charge, which is basically a scheme to defraud people using communication and interstate commerce, and conspiracy to commit money laundering, so using proceeds from unlawful activity, transmitting that, trying to conceal it or disguise it, and just transmitting monetary transactions through illegal proceeds. These are both federal charges that carry up to 20 years. However, a lot of things factor into how the sentencing guidelines if someone is convicted. So how much money was lost? Is there any restitution, money given back? What's the number of victims? They're claiming that tens of millions of dollars were funneled through these operations for both cases. But also they look for criminal history. And just to remind you, the college basketball scandal, some of those participants got just 6 months on similar charges to this. So I think the more concerning thing is the NBA and the fallout there, because we know that Jonte Porter got a lifetime ban, and he also is mentioned multiple times in this indictment.
So this is not a brand new case. This is now additions to what Jonte Porter was. So this is something else.
One
that's
of the cases is
that.
It seems like one of the cases, is a continuation of that, because they're saying that this activity was spanning multiple years. So they've been working on it for a long time and probably building a case, as they said, piece by piece. So the evidence is probably ample here.
So the Chauncey Billups deal now, when you hear it, you don't think is as serious as the other, because when you're, I just think when you're a guy who played in the league, betting on your league and on yourself, that seems very, very serious. But as you hear more stuff coming from the Chauncey's deal, that might be bigger than the other one.
Yeah, well, it's certainly it's different. It's an allegation of illegal gambling taking place in multiple locations, spanning from Vegas to New York City to the Hamptons to Miami. Rigged poker games is the allegation that professional athletes like Billups and Damon Jones were allegedly used to lure people, sort of the attracting force there to get people to participate in these underground illegal poker games where they were using high-tech cheating technology to steal millions of dollars from people and secretly fixing these games. And the allegation is that Billups and Jones knew all about this, that they were a big part of it. They were using off-the-shelf, not necessarily them, but the operation was using off-the-shelf shuffling machines, the indictment says, to read the deck cards, predict which players had the best hands, and then they would relay that to an off-site operator. That information would then allegedly go back to someone at the table who was called the quarterback, who would signal to others. But the sophistication is really amazing. I mean, the FBI is saying there were poker trip tray analyzers where they can secretly read cards with hidden cameras. There were some people had special contacts and eyeglasses that could read pre-marked cards. There was an X-ray table, allegedly, that could read cards face down on this X-ray table. And then they're saying that members of the mafia from four different families were brought in to sort of protect these games and you know, prevent any type of competition, and then in exchange we're taking a portion of the proceeds and then using this money to fund their criminal enterprises. That is the allegation here.
Wow. We don't have much time, Amy, but I got two quick questions. What does that mean for Chauncey then? Is like, how serious are these allegations? What could that mean for him?
He's actually facing the same exact charges as Terry Rozier. So, again, same, you know, up to 20 years potentially if convicted, but not necessarily realistic to say that because so many factors come into play. And if he has no criminal history, it could be a couple months. It could be supervised probation if he even gets convicted. But he's going to have to put up a strong defense. And then I think the larger implications, again, are whether these guys get the lifetime ban from the NBA.
So this is the thing about it. The sports betting, yes, I understand that. You can get a lifetime ban from the NBA. But the actual illegal poker stuff, can you get a lifetime ban for that?
You know, the NBA and Adam Silver over the past couple of days has been very vocal about the fact that they are cracking down on, you know, participating in anything that's considered illegal sports betting. So I personally, this is my opinion, but I do think that illegal poker games would fall under that category. Of course, it doesn't involve NBA players, but there are things in the contracts, there are things in the NBA rules that basically say that if you're involved in unlawful behavior, there can be consequences. Whether it's going to rise to the level of a lifetime ban because it doesn't specifically involve these mobile operators, that I don't know.
So if Chauncey or Damon Jones, whatever, if either one of those guys, if it comes to find out that they did not know what was truly going on and they were also being, getting their money taken, you know, how could that be then used against them? Because I think that we got poker bets going, poker tournaments going at every neighborhood around the country every weekend.
Mm-hmm. Right. And some of them, and the indictment said, some of those poker tournaments are legal and some of them are rigged. And so what you're saying would be a meritorious defense that's valid that they could bring that up. Also, we know in the indictment that Jontay Porter allegedly was threatened because of past gambling debts to provide insider information. So they could also bring up the defense of that they were under duress. You know, maybe they had debts of their own and they were threatened into this. So there's a lot of different possibilities, and I think it's important to recognize that people are innocent until proven guilty. And at this stage, it is just allegations until the evidence becomes public.
Last thing, real quick, Amy, do we know how they got tipped off to this? Was there someone that was a whistleblower, or how do they figure this out?
Well, what's interesting, we don't know exactly, but what's interesting is that Damon Jones is a crossover defendant. It lists some people as co-conspirators who are defendants in the other case. So it seems like there were people who were cooperating and sort of, you know, going along with this investigation, which would make sense as to how they got all of this information. But what I found really interesting was that there were a number of players and co-conspirators who were listed as former NBA players and coaches that have not yet been named that may have been cooperating and also participating.
Amy, appreciate the time. Great insight.
Thank you, Amy. Appreciate you.
My pleasure, guys. Take care.
That was Odyssey Legal Insider Amy Dash. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today.
What is the Twitter world saying, Toby?
It's wild.
Twitter world is implicating one guy.
I'm not even going to mention it.
We ain't going to say it. Talk to you off air, Landfill.
Listen to the irony of this. We got to make some bets next.
Let's go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and talk to...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Dan Lust, the sports and entertainment attorney who is heard all over the place and who we've had on the show many times to talk about sports law, does a great job with us on Grant and Danny. Dan, it is good to talk to you again. How you been?
I'm good, guys. Let's just say my phone was blowing up this morning, and a very exciting 30-minute press conference, but happy to break it down with you guys.
Wild what's happening. So the FBI had a press conference. Some of the specifics, current former NBA players, coaches, Chauncey Billups, and as well as Terry Rozier and Damon Jones have been arrested in a legal gambling and sports rigging operation that spanned 11 states. 30 individuals got arrested, 13 mafia members as well. All right, so let's just start with painting with a broad brush, like your assessment on what was going on here and just the size of this investigation.
Okay, so let's start at a 50,000-foot level, and I'll state the obvious. There are two very different acts at the heart of this press release, right? We have inside betting info for basketball purposes, which I tend to think is a rather simple scheme, so to speak, right? It's just the passing of inside information. And then separately, right, on your other hand, we have a pretty complex poker betting scheme. I think the two are very different. You can, I guess, use your imagination as to why the two were combined for purpose of one press release, one large announcement. But I view the two as being very separate and distinct acts. But yeah, that was my biggest takeaway. Why are we talking about these two things in the same sentence? But yeah, I guess to the extent they're both gambling, I get it. But yeah, two very different acts at the heart of this.
And Dan, this is my big question. Like the headline that I read, or the first news alert is Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups arrested in this in this operation. And I'm going, oh, okay, so there's a link between them, and the link is it's kind of gambling related? Question mark. What's the tie-in, and how is this all getting wrapped up into one thing?
Well, it's a good question. I was watching the press conference for this for someone to ask it, and I think they got pretty close. The question is why they are linked, and I seemingly they're linked because the arrests happen all on the same day, and so they. You know, it's not to make light of it, but they're kind of making it like a 2-for-1 special. Like, hey, you know, they're both kind of gambling. One is sports betting related. One's poker. Let's just, you know, they're both kind of basketball related. Let's just do a sweeping arrest on the same day, and let's do the press conference the same day. Instead of, which I think would logically be the case, do two different press conferences, two different releases, because, yeah, other than being gambling related and other than involving basketball players, there seems to be two very different schemes. One, I think, is rather simple, right, the providing of inside information. And the other one, the poker side, I found to be very fascinating with alleged X-ray tables and automatic shufflers and face-ups and fish and sharks and seemingly a very elaborate process involving everyone at the table, the dealers. That seemed to be a very different character nature. But, you know, to answer your question, why would you loop them together? Because I think everybody knows who Chauncey Billups is. He's a Hall of Famer. I think far less people know, as we're all sports fans, we know who Terry Rozier is. But the public knows who Chauncey Billups is. And grouping him together, I think, is certainly harmful to Billups, but does put a lot more attention on both cases.
All right, so let's talk about the poker games. This, like, Molly's Game level 11-state operation or whatever this was. But this includes, apparently, according to reports, X-ray machines built into tables to read face-down cards, contact lenses, glasses that read pre-marked cards, and rigged poker games. How is Chauncey Billups involved in this, allegedly? What was going on, exactly?
Okay, so another you guys are asking all the right questions. I read all the same news reports, and then, you know, I wanted to watch the press conference, and then I ended up reading some of the news reports out there, and then the DOJ's press release. It seems from early indications that Billups wasn't the mastermind of the operation, but at least as the reports are coming out, apparently there would be a couple of targets, so that there would be a number of people at the table that were in on the scheme, and they would identify a target who had a large bank account, right? In the poker community, right, we'd call them a fish, someone that has a lot of money. They want to go to the table, but in addition to just playing in this game, they were allured by the prospect that, hey, famous people will be playing, Chauncey Billups being one of them. And we don't know to the extent that Billups was involved, right? Sometimes people are paid to show up at appearances. We don't know what Billups' defenses are, but it seems like from the charging instruments that Billups was a celebrity that was brought in to lure people to the table. It doesn't seem like he was the mastermind, but then again, he's charged here with money laundering and, you know, alleged wire fraud. So the charges don't really make a distinction. They will, I'm sure, at some point. But that seems to be Billups' involvement. He just was someone that was brought to the game. But we don't know. Is it possible he was wearing X-ray glasses, too, and he was more involved than just being a face-up guy? Certainly possible. But that's at least my read of the charging documents, that he's not the centerpiece of the poker operation.
How did it start? That's the thing I always wonder, Dan, is like, because there's a before. And then there's a time where somebody at some point approaches him, or he approaches someone. Like, that's the part that I always kind of feel like gets glossed over in any kind of story. How did this begin?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, like, again, just kind of reading through the tea leaves, and the FBI and the EDNY, where I'm from in New York, the Eastern District, they're not giving us all the details. A lot of good questions that were being asked along those lines. And they said, we're not putting this out right now. We're not telling you what the defenses are. All I'll say, right, in our country, everyone's innocent until proven guilty. And I imagine, right, for someone like Billups, and we can loop Rozier in as well, sometimes they're not aware of the full scheme. And that's sometimes a defense. And we saw this a little bit with the Diddy trial not that long ago. In order to get these large charges of conspiracy, you need to show that people had some level of awareness of what was happening. And yeah, certainly a lot of people could have been involved. In theory, it would make sense. But this is why in our country, innocent until proven guilty. Billups might come out and say, yeah, I was at a poker game on a certain day. I have no idea what was happening. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure, right? You know, underground poker schemes have been happening for years and years and years. I was impressed and really kind of surprised at the level of technology that was involved. That seems to be a rather new development, right? Marked cards with X-ray vision, with buzzers. I don't know. That seems pretty alarming. But yeah, in this day, I imagine that type of tech is not going back 50 years. That's got to be a rather new technology development.
Dan Lust, sports law analyst, joining us on Grant and Danny. So this is going to sound like a dumb question, and feel free to kind of blow it out of the water. But, and you kind of just alluded to this. I mean, how common are things like this? And is this a bigger deal because, like, Billups' involvement? Like, if this came out today and they listed all of the Italian families and the mob and all this stuff, I would say, whoa, that's crazy. In the same way that I did about, like, the jewelry heist at the Louvre or whatever a few days ago, where I kind of read the headline. I was like, wow, that's wild. That's from a bygone era. And I kept it moving. Or, like, do you think this is unique and special and different because of the scope, money or otherwise, and tens of millions of dollars is involved?
Yeah, and you guys referenced it. Like, Molly's Room, the game, is it Molly's Room or Molly's Game?
Molly's Game.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's been going, that's a movie that was 10 years ago. It was based on a book from years prior to that. Like, there is certainly some level of underground illicit poker games that have occurred for years and years and years, decades back, celebrities playing in those games. And again, I didn't mention it, the 50,000 foot, you know, answer that I gave you beforehand. I know we see reports of it. You could, you know, Tobey Maguire, whoever was featured in that movie. Like, there are celebrities that play in these really high level games. And I somewhat find it interesting that Chauncey Billups is the highest level name that's referenced. And I certainly, again, certainly my own opinion, but I think games like these, high level games that maybe aren't legal because the house is taking a cut, are far more pervasive than the public knows about. But this game and these allegations concerning this level of technology, I view that to be rare. I do. And I think, you know, you can use your imagination as the amount of high level players that are in some of these underground games and celebrities, no less. And if the highest person they get is Billups, that tells you that this game was a different character in nature. And rest assured, right, people have motivations for looping in Billups and Rozier. Again, I don't view these two acts as being that similar. But if there was a bigger name than Billups, if this was more pervasive than we thought, Billups certainly wouldn't be the biggest name. You'd have entertainers and actors and whoever else. So to the question, I do think this seems to be a rather unique offense. I'm not quite sure of the tie-in across all of those different. They said it went from Los Angeles to New York. There's a lot of different cities involved. But this technology element, I think, is what brings it to a different level.
Dan Lust with us here on Grant and Danny, breaking down the FBI charges against Chauncey Billups, Terry Rozier, and others. In terms of kind of how long running this was going, what sort of triggered the investigation? What do we know about that? Like, how anybody was tipped off to it?
Yeah, they're being a little bit coy with those details, and I'll just say, I mean, I'm sure we're going to find out more in certain days, but at least on the sports betting side, this is the obvious one. There seems to be these irregular betting patterns that pop up, and people I know have been watching Twitter today, all these memes of Rozier missing shots and doing turnovers and whatever else. Maybe those aren't that suspicious in a vacuum, but there are sites that are designed to basically track historical betting on a particular day. We'll say on a weekday Charlotte Hornets game, they have some sense of what the band would be for bets, right? And I don't know what the numbers are, but they have some sense of that, and they have some sense as to when the timing of certain bets would be placed. Now, if there is a spike, and let's say, you know, 50 bettors across the country each place, and again, outside of their normal range of bets, let's say someone is a typical bettor of, I don't know, $100 a game, and 50 people across the country each bet way outside of their normal band of bets, that is viewed as suspicious betting activity. If it happens once, maybe that's interesting. If it happens enough, that's what flagged. So that's seemingly how it was discovered on the Rozier side. I think they're being, you know, for something like the poker scheme, it's less a technological discovery, and sometimes it's somebody reporting something and being the quote-unquote informant. I don't think we yet have that information of how the poker scheme was found out, but we wouldn't know of the X-ray tables and this and that unless someone from the inside, right, found out or at least relayed that information. Certainly the fish or the targets wouldn't have that information. It wouldn't come from a victim, but seemingly would come from someone on the inside. So that's generally historically how these things come out. FBI finds out some information and they get someone on the inside to flip in exchange for some level of immunity. But we just don't have that information yet.
The Chauncey Billups side of this, the poker version of the story today, to me, that's salacious and incredible, and it's straight out of a movie, so it's fascinating. But from a league standpoint, obviously the other one is a bigger deal, right? Which is the possibility of players throwing performances or their games or what have you. And that leads, as we've previously seen, to guys being run out of the sport, suspended, banned, what have you. So as we transition to that, I guess here's where I want to start the conversation. Whenever anything like this happens, a lot of people kind of take a victory lap and go, see, legalizing betting's been a disaster. And I'm actually on the other side where I go, well, there's more regulation and we're catching these guys. Stuff like this could have been happening for the last 50 years. And because it's not regulated the same way, because we weren't diving into it to the same extent and taking the same safeguards as a sport, maybe we would have never known. Am I onto something or am I overstating it?
You are, and I'll go one further. There is something troublesome for the NBA, right? And I know a lot of time has been spent talking about Kawhi and all the stuff going on with that deal, but I view this as being much more important. And Grant and Danny, if you guys don't know, and maybe your listeners don't know, I teach a sports law class. So I do this every semester. I talk about the Ohtani case. I talk about all these different times in NFL or NBA or Major League Baseball history where it seemed obvious that something happened. But all of a sudden, like, you know, we could go back to Brian Flores and that whole situation. It seemed obvious that something wrong happened, but the league decided to sweep it under the rug. And there was no criminal indictment attached to it. So it was really just the league saying, trust us. We did our own investigation. We hired these fans. Lawyers, and we found no evidence of anything. So let's go back to January of 25. So earlier this year, when the Rozier stuff comes out, we knew all the same stuff. We knew that the game that they were looking at, we knew of the suspicious betting activity, and the NBA said, trust us, we're going to look at it. We know that the feds are looking at it, but don't worry, we're going to look at it. And the NBA comes back and they clear Rozier. They clear him. He was obviously eligible to play last night. He was on the bench for Miami, but they cleared him. So I think the NBA looks very bad within that scope. They looked at the incident. They had seemingly the same evidence that the feds were looking at, you'd think, right? Some level of understanding of what happened. And they cleared Rozier. So the NBA, and rest assured, the next time Silver gets in front of a microphone, someone smart's going to ask him this question. How is it that you cleared him, but the feds viewed it enough to have him as the centerpiece of this indictment? What did you see that they didn't see? And it's going to be a very tough question for Silver to ask. And it's the same question that I ask my students, right? We had a lot that was pointing that Shohei Ohtani had some involvement with this betting scandal. And you can use any type of example. But the Major League Baseball cleared him, and Ohtani wasn't wrapped up in a federal indictment. So, you know, there wasn't really anything else to look at. It was just trust Major League Baseball. And that's the type of question that's unique to this case. Silver cleared him, but the FBI and you know, federal prosecutors did not. So that's a really tough sell if you're Silver. I don't really know how he gets around that.
So, Dan, for the Rozier part of it, I mean, there's a couple salacious things sort of tangentially related to it. And here's what I mean. There's a description of one of the quote-unquote prominent players, and that matches LeBron James, if you're sort of doing a quick scan, and not that LeBron's involved at all, but it was a, hey, he's not playing the night, a better, you know, has a huge bet against it and or against the Lakers, and that team loses, et cetera. But there's also a couple of the other guys that were, I guess, again, all alleged, whatever I have to say, linked to Rozier and Jones that have also been accused of doing a lot of illegal gambling with college games as well. So is this now kind of part of a larger net here?
Yeah, and to the point we said earlier, it's technology, right? Like, and we, I'm sure you guys have spoke about it, but Rozier essentially sat out a game, and then, you know, we can always see, like, if a team is not playing well and they want to rest one of their star players, will it help their draft position? Yes. The question is whether inside information was provided ahead of time, and you can track that by the suspicious betting patterns. If it's one suspicious bet, I don't think it gets flagged. Again, numerous bets will be flagged. So that's the question. Could this be the first domino to fall? You know, it's certainly possible. I would think that the FBI didn't need to announce this today, on the day after the NBA tipped off their season. I think if you were really on pursuit of someone like a LeBron or someone huge, you would have waited. If you felt that you had a good cause to get someone like LeBron, right, who could be the top level of this type of investigation, you wait. You don't need to make Billups the main guy. That doesn't make sense. So I think in a larger scope, you're probably right, that they're not done looking into people. Feds have been on this for at least a year. I think if they had enough juice and another huge, massive fish on top of all this, they would have waited for the appropriate time or otherwise ruled that person out. So I certainly think it's not going to be the end of sports betting investigations, but it seems like this is the complete picture with respect to these two particular incidents.
Dan Lust on Grant and Danny. Before we let you go, one more, a little bit off the beaten path, but semi-related here. You mentioned being a professor at the college level. Well, collegiately, in a week, college athletes are now going to be allowed to bet on pro sports. And I just find the timing of this story that I saw for the first time within the last 48 hours interesting. So I know that in other sports, like if you play for the Commanders, you can bet on everything outside of football, essentially, as long as you're not at the facility. Does this mean, Dan, that college athletes previously weren't allowed to bet on anything at all, and now they're going to be able to bet on anything but college sports? And just what's your take? What have we found about kind of allowing you to do some, but not the thing that you play?
Yeah, so first of all, I think the timing is just so bad. I mean, we knew about this maybe, I think it was a week or two ago we heard about it, and that the effective date would be November 1st, but the timing is heinous. It's awful. And let's just say different sports have different prohibitions, right? Baseball's rules are different than football's concerning like on-facility bets. They're all slightly different. The logic behind at least the NFL's bets and the NFL's policy is that you're likely to get inside information if you're at a particular facility. I don't necessarily agree with that. You know, for example, when Jameson Williams got suspended once upon a time when he was Lions, I think he was betting on some other sport. He just happened to be at the facility. So I don't necessarily agree with the premise that you're likely to have inside info if you're at the facility versus in your car. I don't really think that makes sense.
Well, you know, Dan, then, as soon as you leave the facility and get in your car, you forget all of
there's
the,
no info in the
the
car.
Knowledge that you have.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious.
Zero. None. And I mean, the same can be true for college kids. Like, what access do college kids have to inside information at the professional level? Yeah, certainly someone could be someone else's cousin. I get that, but that's so tenuous. Maybe that person should be, you know, reviewed for suspicious betting patterns concerning their family members or close ties.
I wonder if guys haven't, you know, you could have an agent that has players in the league that says, oh, this guy's not playing on Sunday.
Former teammates who are now in the pros.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, in my practice, I represent agents, and some agents represent pros, and they represent college kids, right? And you could be outside of the facility on your phone and have the same level of access to inside information. So I think it's a slippery slope. I don't know what prompted colleges to pass that rule. You know, I don't know what has changed between point A and point B to prompt that. And certainly, right, today's October 23rd. It's very possible that they re-examine that decision in light of what just happened. And NCAA's taken this big role about protecting college kids. Who knows, right? I don't think it's out of the bag. Until it passes on November 1st, I would view that very closely. It wouldn't shock me if they pushed it back, at least to some extent. November 1st is just an arbitrary date they picked.
Dan, terrific as always, man. Great insight. Appreciate you.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime.
Yeah, you're the best. That was fantastic. Dan Lust with us on Grant and Danny at Sports Law Lust if you want to follow him on social media.
So a pretty big story breaking this morning. Chauncey Billups, NBA Hall of Famer, head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, along with Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier, arrested this morning as a part of a pair of investigations related to illegal gambling. Rozier was arrested at a hotel in Orlando, Florida. The Heat lost their season opener last night to Orlando. He did not play due to a coach's decision. Meantime, Chauncey Billups arrested in Oregon after, by the way, he coached last night, the Trailblazers opener. They lost to Minnesota 118-114. Anthony Edwards, by the way, 41 in the opener. Billups was arrested as part of a separate but related illegal gambling case linked to an illegal poker operation tied to the mafia, according to ABC News. By the way, also, remember Damon Jones, the corner three shooter on some of the LeBron teams in Cleveland? He's a Cavs, former Cavs assistant coach as well. He was arrested on charges that he provided inside information about NBA games to co-defendants who used it to play sports bets, also according to ABC News. FBI cracking down on illegal stuff. And all of it, by the way, is sponsored by BetMGM. The NBA will be running those spots during their games or whatever spots they use, DraftKings, FanDuel, whatever it is. I heard this story this morning coming in, and then I'm reading through it, and there's a lot of questions that I have. I know that the FBI is holding a news conference currently to explain those, but we have asked our legal correspondent and contributor to this program, Neil in Rockville, to jump on with us, because you texted me. You were the one that let me know this was going on this morning. So what do we have here? Because my first reaction was, well, you don't get arrested unless you're betting on your own team or point shaving. You know, you get booted from the league for betting because you're not allowed to, but you don't get arrested. Now we find out this is tied to an illegal poker operation, which was mafia influenced. What do you know, and what do you think this is all about?
Well, interestingly, and I'm still picking through the pieces, I think the Damon Jones matter, I think he was like just cleared of some of an internal NBA investigation. There were some internal NBA investigations, I think, tied to some of this stuff just recently, and I'm still trying to pull some information about that. So there really are two sort of separate matters. It's the Damon Jones and Rossier directly having to do with NBA games, and then the Billups is the poker. But I think they're all tied to what I've been watching the press conference. I mean, they're identifying Los Costa Nostra as the part of the mafia, the old fashioned mafia.
Really?
who's tied to this, particularly with the Billups and the Rozier. And it sounds like the direct NBA stuff had to do with prop bets and background information about players, and then there were also seemingly some threats against other players because of debts, some other gambling debts. So, those are all direct NBA related, possibly shavings, information, insider stuff. And then there's the Billups, which is an illegal, related to an illegal poker situation, which also is seemingly was run by the mafia. And
but you're saying old style Italian mafia,
the La Cosa Nostra. I mean, that's we're talking. You know, in some ways, if you go back to
Henry Hill, Boston College,
exactly. I mean, that's that type of stuff. And so, a lot of times, nowadays it's, a lot of some of the other types of mafia, Russian mafia, Ukraine, all these different types of mafia. But this is seemingly Italian mafia as what's coming out of the words of the FBI press conference right now. And the Billups one, and Tommy, who, has so much interrelated investigative reporting with the mafia, including taking the list of mafia people.
Lavero did that. He took a seating chart from a secret mafia get together in the hills of Pennsylvania many years ago. He went in and stole the seating chart so he could write about the people who were at that meeting. It's a true story.
But the interesting thing is, for the Billups one, particularly with legal poker, that creates huge problems, because as we all know, one of the whole issues with, illegal versus legal gambling is, sure, Billups might not have been providing any information, or he might not have been betting on games or taking any direct action. But when you're dealing with illegal poker games run by the mob, if you start getting down, you got to figure out some way to pay off your debts. And if you don't have the money,
it's a Molly's game situation.
Yeah. I mean, you're potentially giving information about, or even not just information, maybe you're holding back some people, in certain games, or you're holding the points down or something like that, where, you're paying off your debts. Because I don't understand why someone would participate in an illegal poker ring run by the mafia, specifically because now today we have public,
wouldn't the reason be what we saw before we had legal, online poker? And obviously we have legal poker in Vegas and in other places and in lots of other casinos where gambling's legal now. But, it's the super high stakes games with some of the super high rollers. Those are always illegal, especially if you take a rake, right?
Sure. Oh, certainly. And if they're, and depending, now we find out who's running some of those. And, if you get down on those, it's like, you gotta pay the VIG somehow, and you gotta pay your,
how, you know, if you're down, you got to give them information if you don't have the money. And that's definitely what leads to the problems in this investigation. And the other one, the other one is like direct information about prop bets. It's about all the, you know.
It's like it's Michael Porter Jr.'s brother just got booted from the league for some of that. Prop bets are the easiest to, you know, to tank on, you know, and the easiest to, you know, essentially tell, you know, whatever syndicate you have, or maybe it's just a group of friends, hey, I'm going low tonight, you know, I'm going low on the personal, you know, point total.
And one of the things is, you know, it's funny because you've been talking about gambling forever and ever and ever. And it's, you know, and a lot of times it's the legal gambling that can sometimes hear about, you know, the illegal gambling, which can sometimes they'll call the attention to the FBI.
Of course.
Because they can see the, you know, or, you know, there's also, you know, gambling situations, you know, out of the country, and you know they can, you know, they'll let them know, because it messes up the legal gambling more than it, you know, helps, you know, the illegal gambling. So they're more than happy to jump on that stuff and provide information to the authorities.
No, Tommy and I recorded something together early this morning, and I said to him, remember when this all started to percolate, legal sports betting, and all of the leagues thought that the big home run was going to be from an integrity fee that the legal sports books would pay, the NBA, the NFL, you know, Major League Baseball, the NHL. And I said, no, you got that wrong. It's the opposite. The sports books are the ones that will be able to keep the integrity of the game. They're the ones, even before sports betting became legal, were the ones that would identify suspicious betting on games and would inform the leagues. The leagues don't have that information. They can't keep the integrity of the game with legal betting. It's the sports books that need to do that and have the means of monitoring that. And by the way, they're in... You know, they have a mutual interest. The sports books don't want to be taken to the cleaners by some sort of an illegal operation, which is why they've always been able to identify suspicious, you know, betting, behaviors and inform leagues on that. We've seen that. How do you think the BC thing came crashing down, or the Tulane thing came crashing down, or the Arizona State thing came crashing down? It was because, you know, at that time, legal sports books in Vegas let, you know, the Pac-12 know, or let the Big East know at the time, or whatever it was.
Sure.
So back to, just back to Chauncey Billups. So if this is, remember Gilbert Arenas got arrested and then released, and he kind of, you know, was excited saying, I told you I didn't have anything to do with it, but they were using a house that Arenas owned, I guess. Is this any way tied to that, do you think?
No, I don't think it's that kind of stuff. That sounded like it was sort of more, you know, secondary. That was never.
Somebody was using a house
like
that Gilbert Arenas owned for illegal poker games.
Yeah, to run some illegal poker games, but that's like when, you know, people were running house games. It was still illegal to run house games.
What do you think Billups
like
did?
I think he might have just been playing in illegal poker games. I mean, and he might have been running up some large amounts. I mean, you know, look at the Shohei Ohtani situation with his manager and trainer. When people start getting into, you know, debt with you know, that type of people, you gotta pay off your debts. And you know, if Billups could move one or two points, or you know, keep some people out and some stuff like that, it's, you know, he can provide a lot of information and pay off a lot of debts with that stuff. It's, you know, and it's also, you know, they did do the arrests, and, you know, sometimes they do arrests. Sometimes they do, like, you know, let people know that they're, you know, there's a warrant out for their arrest, and, you know, you can come and turn yourself in and stuff like that. But, you know, they decided that they wanted to go out there and make, you know, old fashioned arrests, bring them in, hold them, and they'll present them for, you know, arraignments and, you know, consider bond and all that kind of stuff. I presume Billups is out, you know, forever. I mean, that's something that's going to just
you know, he's not gonna, we're not going to see him again. And then the other guy...
Certainly not going to see him until this gets resolved. By the way, here's the details of the Gilbert Arenas arrest back in late July this past summer. Gilbert Arenas arrested in connection with a federal indictment that alleges that the former NBA star hosted illegal high-stakes poker games at his mansion in Encino, California. You know, he was officially charged with one count of conspiracy to operate an illegal gambling business, one count of operating an illegal gambling business, and one count of making false statements to federal investigators. He was eventually released, and, you know, the charges were dropped. And it would be interesting if Gilbert Arenas, in exchange for having the charges dropped, started dropping some names.
That's... A lot of times, particularly if you're running the house, you know, unfortunately, it's a lot of times the people at the top know all the people below, and, you know, that's the way it could have played out.
Yeah. Well, this is a developing situation, and I know I took you out of watching the FBI press conference. Is Kash Patel actually running the press conference?
Kash is not. No, he's not the one at the podium. The guy at the podium is the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York, Joseph Nocella. However, Kash is right there at his right with his little FBI badge. And he's there.
Not I'm great sure news for the NBA here on night two of the NBA. The other thing is that
Last night.
I know, coached last night.
Yeah.
He coached last night in their opener against Minnesota. And
did
then woke
win?
Up this morning in cuffs.
Did they win?
No, they lost. 118-114. I wonder if he knew.
Makes it interesting, isn't it?
It's you know, we talk a lot about gambling on this show. I have for years now. And you know, when the whole discussion about legalization started and you know, you knew that there was going to be so much of this to come, but the integrity of the games, and I know that the Billups thing has nothing to do with games, it would appear, but the integrity of the games is the most important thing for these leagues. You know, taking the advertising money from legal sports books is secondary to ensuring that these games have integrity. Without that, you've got professional wrestling, and it would never matter as much as it does now.
But the Billups thing could be exactly about the integrity of the game, because if he was having to, you know, pay off debts.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. People say, people say all the time, well, who cares if they end up betting on other sports or on other teams? Well, when you get into it and you get deep into it and you owe somebody a lot of money, the easiest way out of that debt, if you're a coach or a player, is to say, hey, tomorrow night, you know, we're getting three, we're gonna get smoked.
Hey, Pete Rose never bet on his team to lose.
Yeah,
but
of course,
you know,
look, I got offered to drive a car to St. Louis to get out of a debt way back in the day, in college. I've told you that story. I've told everybody that story. My buddy and I got into it with, you know, the book. This was, by the way, a Philadelphia bookmaker. We were down, enough
local
money.
Not our local high school bookmaker in Rockville.
No, it was not, you know, handing out, you know, parlay sheets to your friends. This was, you know, real money when we were in college. And the book said, look, if you guys want to clean the slate, just drive this car and drop this car off in St. Louis. And my buddy wanted to do it. And I said, are you out of your mind? We're in. If we drive, what do you think's in the trunk of that car? We came up with the money. That was maturity stepping in to keep us from getting indoctrinated into what would have been a terrible life, more likely than not. And maybe a short one. All right. Thanks for doing this.
You got it, man. Take care.
All right. Up next, Denton will join us. We'll talk college football, and we'll get Denton's best bets for the weekend. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, and the Team980.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk create in Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.